Dead Air Hardcore Radio.
All right, we're on with the next episode, Dead Air Hardcore Radio. I'm here with Dave, Planning on a Chain. We're gonna talk hardcore. What's
yes,
up?
Yes, we are.
How have you been?
I've been doing all right. I started a new job this week, so I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do all day. It's been a weird week.
Like, what kind of work are we talking about?
So I did work in the animal industry from like 2008 until last week. And now I'm working at the water company. So I've worked
animal industry. That could mean many things. Does that mean like,
so I did like private practice, vet tech shit.
Okay.
Then I did adoptions and intake at an animal shelter. Then I did animal control. Then I did vet. Then I was over like in animal control. I was like an officer, a senior officer, a supervisor. Then I was a supervisor over vet services. And now I'm an admin at the water company.
Admin at the water company. That just sounds very, like the way you describe it sounds very mysterious. Just the admin at the water company.
Well, it's week one. So I don't know what I do yet. And so I had like orientation and I mean, it seems like it'll be a pretty cushy job. So, I mean, it's like less money, but it's less stress. So I don't know. I don't care that much about money. So it's fine.
That sounds like it just sounds when you say admin at the water company that makes me think of that the Jason Statham, the beekeeper.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you could be doing absolutely anything.
Yeah. I mean, so far so good. I mean, I think I'll be doing like super like bullshit stuff, like entering invoices and making sure they're okay to pay and like doing like timekeeping and like, I don't know, other duties as assigned. I work for the city of Austin. So I have like a pension tracked, like city job kind of thing. So I worked at with animal services for a while, and now I'm in the water, Austin Water.
So beyond the admin of the water company, you're a lifer. You're a Corman through and through. How's hardcore in your world in 2024? Planet of the Chain is about to release another record.
Yeah, I think hardcore is cool. I think there's a lot of good stuff going on. I mean, I think for people my age, a big problem with like wanting everyone to know if there's a thing they don't like, and like, yo, everything shouldn't be for you. You know, there's at no point in 1980 and 1990 and 2000 did like every band fill every box for every person. Like, so I think there's plenty of shit I like right now. And that's what's happy for me. You know, I don't go out as much as I did when I was younger, but that's just because I get up at fucking 5:30 in the morning, but I'm going to go out tonight after this. So I don't not do anything, but I think there's a lot of good bands, and I think it's still fun to go to shows and still fun to jump off a stage.
And I think there's a lot of I think this isn't the age of there is obviously still an age of like really heavy music. Like we still have like our current hardcore festival coming up. It's heavy. A lot of the big festivals are heavy, but I feel like there's still there's still a lot to appreciate. There's still like it ticks. There's different boxes to check for many, you know, for the type of hardcore you do. Just that straightforward fast shit. Like, and it's just like for Planet of the Chain, I just feel like it's hard not to. It's hard not to like, but it's like people still like in certain areas have a hard time knowing what to do. It's feel like in this day and age, the crowd participation seems a lot more straightforward for like maybe in the heavy realm.
Yeah, I mean, there is kind of a like, if it's slower we play, I think there is like easier to like smosh to per se. I mean, I think that's, if you go like the poppier route, like there's more, you can like bounce around, you know, I don't know. But I get it that there's like not as much, it's not as moshable as some of the stuff out there. But I mean, I don't think it's like also like that challenging to the audience. Like it's pretty meat and potatoes without being like, we put thought into it, but yeah.
Like it's hard not to like, I could not see like, even if it's not for them, there's the type of hardcore you play though. Nobody's offended. Like
I would hope so. I mean, once again, I'm not trying to like just be simple, but like, yeah, I think it's like, if you like hardcore, then I think you should be into it. If you like fast punk stuff, like I think it's what you should like without being like, this is like just a song you've heard before, like in a different order, you know, like I think it's, yeah. I mean, I'm a one trick pony. Like I can do one thing. Like I can't carry a tune. I have limited vocal abilities. I can like yell and I can jump around.
And I feel like what you've done in most of your projects, it seems like you've done it well. And it seems like, especially with like Planet on the Chain, it seems like it's been done with like, from the vocals to everything made in the track has been very well thought out and or with like laser precision. Do you think it feels like that's just natural and it falls in place, or is there like, you know, goals set to be, you know, really pushed for that sound?
I mean, Brian basically writes the music and he, you know, like will like mess around with riffs and he'll like, it's not like not a lot of songs I think that are like come up with on the spot and then they're the songs at the end. Like even like we demoed everything, like the LP that will be out next month, we, you know, just at our, like them in California, me in Texas, like demoed every single song, and some parts we would scrap. Like there's a song that the original title, the part where the title was in it, got cut out of the song. And then I had to like figure out like, oh, can I jam the old title in there? Can I make it in there somewhere? Or, you know, like, hey, this part's cool, let's like do that part twice. So for being a band that I practice with as a band once, like I still think there is like some back and forth on like the songs, but Brian like writes riffs and then kind of ruminates on them for a while before they kind of get to the recording point.
And a lot of the materials for this project has come out in the last few years. When was the official like forethought into getting this all started? Or has this been like kind of a long, how long has this project been in the works?
So it kind of started as like a COVID, like, hey, like we should record a demo or something like that kind of thing between Brian and I, just like Instagram DMing back and forth, you know, me bored at my old job. And, you know, I've known Brian in some capacity since the late 90s, you know, I've known him a long time, and I met Moses and Tobiah probably in the early 2000s when the three of them were all in Look Back and Laugh. So I've, you know, and then it's like, but they live in California, so you know, my partner and I are in California visiting friends. Like, we might meet up with Brian and Tobiah and like go for a hike or get a meal. So I've known him casually for a long time. And then it was just like, yeah, like, let's do something. So we went back and forth with songs, and then we're just like, yeah, let's, we got 10 songs. Let's record a demo. Let's play a show. And then it's kind of just gone from there to be like, I mean, I'm game if I have the time to just fly to California and play a show. And I generally have the time. So it's like, it's not that to just, I'm not a prima donna. So I'll get the 6 a.m. flight or the shitty, like I'll do cheap, shitty, you know, whatever economy flights to just like go out to California and play a show. And we've kind of been doing more like, I'm going to fly out there, we'll try to do two shows or two, three shows. And then we've done we did four shows with Destiny Bond pretty recently. We did four shows with Drop Dead back in the summer. And then we're going to Pacific Northwest again next month, going to Europe. And then we're still going to see from there, go from there.
Yeah. And that was pretty tight turnaround. Cause like the Pacific Northwest was just a couple, like literally a month ago.
Yeah. And that it's funny that the last show we played was in Eugene, technically Springfield. And then I guess the next show we play will be in Corvallis or whatever. Like we aren't playing in the middle between the two Pacific Northwest runs.
Yeah. I'm completely like, as far as that part of the Pacific Northwest goes, I'm just glad that there's something going on out there. It's pretty dang remote, like as far as those parts past Portland. But there's gotta be something to do, you know.
I mean, I'm gonna give full credit to Destiny Bond for like booking those shows and like getting in touch with people to book the shows and getting those dates. You know, they were super fun to play shows with, like super great to hang out with. Like when I came back from, like we were, you know, that first day after, just like, oh, it just feels weird to be like not watching Destiny Bond tonight. But our show in Springfield was like a Monday night, and there was people there, and it was like, you know, it wasn't some like, you know, barn burner, like blow the doors off, but like, it wasn't six people either. Like it was a legit, like fun show in like a small spot. It was like, it was fun. It looked like a bowling alley. It was a weird spot, but you know, just like not an A-list city, so to speak, you know, but it was like, you know, this shit's fun. I was happy to be in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. I find it hard, like right now, to like be at any given show and be one of the just even small room, empty room, mm-hmm. type scenarios. So like kids are talking up the shows, like no matter what it is, if it's Fastcore, Power Violence, you know, even heavy shit, any of it. And with Chris Williams, he just made a Discord here, and a couple people, you know, a couple of us, you know, joined in, and then one kid like was like, hey, can I like take this over? And then just brought the entire like Pacific Northwest. And it's like, it's literally, I get pinged from people talking about shows, talking about the show they just went to, like all, like a show, one show will happen, like, and just like a house show, and people will be talking about it all night while I'm asleep. Like, mm-hmm. And I don't know if I could ask for anything more than that.
Now that's great. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, Austin's kind of a funny spot because it's such a bar that we do not have like a dedicated all ages DIY venue. Like there's a spot that does like Sunday matinee, all ages shows, but it's like, you know, everything here is like as I said, I'm going to go to a show after this. Like the first band plays it. I'll miss the first band, but like, the first band's at 9:30 at night. It's a Wednesday, you know, like why are we doing this so late? But it's because everything's at bars and they want you there at night drinking.
Yeah. And well, Austin is like kind of that's like an entertainment hub these days, right? Like, it's like, there's a lot of like, just like shows, comedy, bunch of people are out in there. Maybe it's a different area in Texas. I always get the areas mixed up.
But I think so much of that is branding. I think we've like we're the live music capital of the world, but it's like, as I said, we can't have a DIY venue. We can't, everything's bars. Like, and then like, we're like, I mean, I'm sure this isn't unique to Austin, but there's like crazy condo boom. So like, people want to live near shit, and then they're going to be like, oh, why is there noise at night? So like the venue Mohawk, you know, around, that's just surrounded by condos, so they can't have shows. I think it might be like midnight. They think they can't have noise anymore because it's like people have to sleep around it. So it's, I don't know. My youth was spent like in going to shows in New York. So there was always like dedicated like venues that were like where you saw punk and hardcore shows.
Well, I blame Joe Rogan for all of this.
Joe, I mean, I don't want to give him credit for anything. He, the place that it was vacant for a little bit, so I can't give him shit for it, but there was a spot in the 80s called the Ritz. And then it was also a movie theater after that, like an Alamo Draft House spot. So like, yeah, like Black Flag played here, but I also would like go see like weird horror movies on Terror Tuesday. And then it closed. I think it closed during the pandemic, and now it's like Joe Rogan's like anti, you know, woke comedy club or some shit. I mean, I think that's like how it's billed. So yeah, I won't go to that. But no, I mean, we have Joe Rogan, and we have like Tesla shit here. Like we have like rich douchebag shit here for sure.
But that's probably not like any city like that. Probably is just like, that's just rough on kids coming together and like making shows, like the stuff that you are, you know, like the tour spots in like Eugene, which are like usually no, or Corvallis or wherever, which are just either halls or somebody's house or a church or whatever.
Yeah. But I mean, like so I grew up in New Jersey. So I grew up in North Jersey. So I was pretty close to New York. So I could go to like ABC No Rio or go to CB's or something like that. But also like I went to so many shows that were just at like whatever VFW hall, whatever Knights of Columbus, or in the like late 90s, like New Brunswick is where Rutgers University is. So that would be a kind of place where, depending on the year, there would be like punk, you know, hardcore kids that did shows at their house. But then some years it would be like real arty, and some years it would be like more emo, and then it would go back to being like real hardcore again. So it kind of would be all over the place just because it's a college town, and they kind of are cyclical about like what's thing with the people at that point. So, and I'm like, the show we played in Springfield, we all thought it was going to be like a house show, cause it was called, the place is called like The Spot or something like that. So we thought this was like an Ask a Punk situation. It was not, but I mean, the show, you know, I mean, I'm not looking for like a crazy PA and like a barricade. Like I love playing on the floor. I love playing a house, all that shit. It's fun.
I think it also helps facilitate too, especially like going back to like the crowd participation. Just because we have a, like, even in the Pacific Northwest and West Coast has always had a issue with just, or you know, over the years, horseshoes, depending on where, like what time or what era, you know, how, just reaction for certain bands that aren't just like mosh bands, even though historically the Pacific Northwest has had more like out of the bigger bands. Obviously there's the, you know, there's the Trials, the Strains, the Undertows. But like, if you go north of here, you have more like the Go It Alones and Blue Mondays and stuff like that. Stuff that is like obviously melodic, but has faster pacing to it. But it seems like going to something like Gel, playing in a Tacoma basement seemed to go a lot better than doing the stage, just because like kind of like almost a forced movement during the fast bands, just like because I think it's just also like with kind of the Olympia scene that just like you're just all canned, like we used to have like old school pizzeria and just you're all just shoved in there and you just fish out of water. And I honestly love that type of crowd participation because it just forces people to just like listen, move around, even if you're just like kind of,
yeah,
you know, like the fish in SpongeBob.
Yeah, I mean, there's some spots here that are more fun because they are smaller. Like the show I'm going to go to tonight is at a place called Hotel Vegas, which once again it's a bar, but like it's a pretty small room. It's one of those spots that you walk in and you're like parallel with the stage, so you're kind of like you need to like move in and then get to the front, or like move it. Like it's if the door ends up getting like a kind of a pile up from people coming in, but like I saw, you know, to go Pacific Northwest, I saw Physique there was the last show I went to there, and it was like, yeah, it was fun. People were like moshing around, and you know I don't think that many people knew like Physique lyrics per se, but like people were up front and going for it. Yeah, and it was like them and then like locals, like a band's first show and stuff like that. Like it was fun. I mean, Austin has like stuff going on that,
yeah, I think for that Olympia or that Iron Lung Sound, they don't really need to know the lyrics. Like
yeah,
that's the whole thing is you're there to watch because they're the show. Like they're going to put on a show. Like
yeah, they're great.
They're going to move around and it's going to be contagious. And a lot of the people who just go to they're going to the whole crowd is going to follow what either the band's energy and vice versa. And it's, I mean, that's a real obvious thing to say, but like sometimes it might not always work at certain areas, even if you're even, you know, a few miles away at a different venue. Like I've depending on who's at like what Tacoma show, like we had one that a couple nights ago that went off all kids, and then we have one where there was more, so a few some of my friends growing up, the kids were moshing, the other people were like it's sometimes like you really gotta like get things going to get people to, yeah, there was more of a push to get the energy going for the show versus like all the young bands just already had it.
Yeah. I think it also depends on like the band themselves too. Cause you'll see some bands that are going to get real hung up the crowd. And if like the crowd's not like going off to their level, like they're going to constantly be like, come on. It's like, you know what? Like just play your show. And like, if that should draw people in, I think, you know, like I've known people that have like done bands and then not stuck with it because like it didn't like immediately hit. It's like, hey man, like, you know, you have off days, you have periods of time when your band's just not popular yet. Like, and like Play on the Chains doesn't have like a place where we're like, we have a million people that like know all the words, but like, I don't care. Like I want to play. I think people will like it. And if you keep doing it, you know, people will, it'll, if you build it, it'll come, so to speak, you know, like, or it won't, but like they're my friends. So I'm having fun just hanging out. I don't know. I'm weird when it comes to some of that stuff, because like, I think so many people have this idea that like they're gonna like be the next, you know, fill in something huge, and like, you know, there's a million bands out there there's only like minor threat. You know, it's like you can't all be the biggest band. And like, you know, it's cool. You know, the world needs, you know, fucking Untouchables too. You know, I don't know. Like I think like some of the weird stuff with like the business aspect of hardcore weirds me out. And some of the like the idea of like getting huge. Like, I don't know. I just like, as we open the show with, like, I've got a job, you know, like I do this as like a fucking release, and because I like it, like, you know, it should be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I do this thing. This is a small, humble thing that started in college radio 20 years ago. And I just, my friends pass it off to me. And I'm just like, I talk to people about hardcore in my bedroom. So that, like, I have no, like, when people are like, oh, well, you know, they talk about, oh, numbers. It's like, well, who cares about that? Like, yeah. I was like, if the people that I'm talking to enjoy it and I enjoy doing it, that's the whole point. And that can like also translate to like, obviously there's going to like, I have had fun watching bands where like sometimes like it's awkward just because like it could be a newer scene. Like some of the kids don't know what to do, but the band is just still electric, even though nobody might be moving. That discourages people. It's like, if you want to have a good show, make it a fucking good show. Go out there and fucking get it. Whether they like, sometimes like in Washington, it's been weird where like, I've seen a bunch of people are excited about the show, even though maybe nobody moved or whatever. And like, people still were like, man, that band fucking rocked. Like, and maybe the next time they come in, everybody's, you know, got to know the band and the show and the crowd are all in sync at that point.
I mean, everyone makes a big deal. Like it's a Barstool Sports video, like the No Justice shit, you know, like, you know, there, obviously I'll say this and you'll get to like one person, like I hear you, Dave Janis, but like people were like, no one knows No Justice lyrics, you know, but it was like, it was a thing, you know, it was an event. And it's like this band put on because Timmy was a crazy front man, but like you got taken by it, you know? And like that's just how that dude is. I saw his band before that was the same way, you know, it's just like, he's a crazy person. So his bands are going to be crazy. And like, that's what you want, you know, like everyone has off nights, but like, you know, like there are certain bands that like, as an audience, you can make them fun. Like one time we went to go see DRI and it was a fucking terrible show. It was like some probably like put on by like a metal promoter. I don't know who booked this.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, way too many bands on a Sunday night. Like I remember I remember watching The Simpsons at my parents' house and then leaving the house. So it was like, it was a thing, you know, I left the house probably like after 8:30, the show was an hour away and it had been going on since like 4, you know, it was like way too late. I, at one point I could name everyone that was there, 'cause it was like 12 people watching DRI and we're like, you know, this could be like the worst show, or we could just fucking go off and this be like, and just like, this is a private DRI show. And that shit was fucking fun because it's just like, yeah, this, I'm sure DRI has played worse shows, but like this was a pretty bad one, but like it was fun because we made it fun, you know? And I think that's how hardcore should be. And that should be like the same way that like an audience can ruin a show, but they can make the show too, you know, by just like being into what the band's putting out, you know? And I think that's, you know, like everyone should be out there for like, for the right reasons. And like, I know that's like real lofty to say that because like, cool. You know, people are going to do what they, people are, everyone's going to do what they want to do, and everyone's going to be a naysayer to be a naysayer. But like, you shouldn't, if you're not having fun, then like, then don't do it. Don't go, you know? I mean, yeah, I think that's, that, yeah. I think that's my thoughts on like a lot of shit. Like if you don't, like if you fucking hate your job and like you're not gonna, and you like don't have like a fucking kid or, you know, you're not gonna like, if you quit it, you'll be homeless. Like, you know, get another job, man. Like you're, there's so much of your life out there that you shouldn't just be stuck doing a thing you hate. And if you're just going to shows because you're like, well, that's just what I do. I don't have fun anymore, but I'm just supposed to go. Like, you don't have to. You know,
yeah.
If you don't want to, you don't have to do shit.
Just work for the water company.
I mean, I didn't like my last job, so I was trying to get another job for a long time. But
be the waterman.
Now I'll just, I mean, if it doesn't work, man, I'll do something else. You know, like it's just fucking work. You know, it's not my life. And I think you can have, you should have a good work life balance from that. And like, if hardcore and punk aren't what aren't like fucking making you, I mean. Yeah, I'm not 15 anymore, but like if I wasn't into it, then I wouldn't do it.
Well, yeah, but it's not going to stop that one person who fantasizes about the one, that one part of hardcore that was theirs and is no longer. They will forever scream that from the rooftops till the day they die.
And I'm like, yeah, did I mention like CBGBs or seeing fucking No Justice or whatever, like who gives a shit? Like I don't want to be like a dude that wants to talk about the 90s, you know? Like I don't want to just like live in the past. Like I did bands in my early 20s, cool.
Yep.
You know, like I don't know, like I don't have like that like nostalgia shit. To me is like, like I don't want to, I don't know, like I don't want to like play. I know, once again, like I know lots of people whose bands play reunions. I've played reunion shows, like I get it, but I don't want to just like just do that, you know? Like I get it that you have to market bands with like your ex members of, so to speak, but like, you know, we're not gonna play covers to those bands, you know? Like like this is its own thing, you know? And like I don't know, I think that, I mean, obviously, you know, there's going to be old bands. Like I like old bands. But like, I like what's going on in 2024, you know, like I think, you know, you should, if you don't like what's going on right now, then like, then either wait till you like it or just like, just stay home with your records, I guess. I don't know.
Go do something you like, or like, and there's also like those people, I think, They've talked it to death on Axe to Grind at one point, but I've had this conversation many times about work, because I work at a club that does hardcore metal EDM. I have people who haven't gone to a show in a long time and go to one of the raves or whatever and be like, you know, saying this and this so and so is dead, and I'm like, and when I do the well, actually, they're like, ah, whatever. They're like, yeah. They're like, they don't actually want to hear it. They wanted to talk about the moment and that, their moment, and that's cool. It's like, well, there's other moments if you're interested, but you're obviously not fucking interested. So
yeah, I mean, it's like, and like. I mean, I think everyone, I mean, I don't know. I'm not someone that wants to just be like, my era was the best era and all other eras are behind it, because like, I don't know. I mean, it's my truth. It's like, I was only 15 once, you know, like I was only 20 once, like all those, like, I can't change my touchstones or put 20-year-old me in 2007 or 2016 and see what it's, you know, like. Yours is your life is your life, and that's what you're always going to have. But like the same, you can't try to convince someone that the fun they had wasn't fun, you know?
Yeah. Going forward into 2024. So we're, yeah, like you said, month away from a new record. Y'all have put out quite a bit in the last, couple years as well. Tell us about the new one coming up.
It's called Culture of Death. And it's funny, like looking at the two songs, like that's, I think, I don't know when this will come out, but I think we'll release another song very soon, like next week. I don't know, soon. It'll be, I believe we're doing the title track. The two songs that we've like released so far, or that will soon be, are like funny ones to talk about because like they're like Cocolero, the song we put out so far, is like easily like the shortest, fastest song on the record. And as far as lyrics go, there's definitely probably like scholars that could explain what I wrote a punk song about a lot better than me. But so that I would be worried in interviews trying to like fully get into the lyrics because like there's definitely people that know a lot more about it than me. And Culture of Death, I wrote about so much of the weird shit that you deal with in municipal shelters and the no-kill movement. And like, I'll just put an asterisk in this. The song isn't like a pro killing dogs song, but like, I've been vegetarian since the 90s, vegan since like 05. Like I'm not a hunter or any of that shit, but like in the same way that if I were trying to give you financial advice and was just like, hey, all the money you make at your job, just save it all. And then that was like the end of speech. you'd quickly find out that it's just like, well, what about my bills? What about food and putting gas in my car and putting the lights on? And then I would
just
like,
lazy and you don't want to do the steps.
Or I'm just being like, I told you, just save the money, you know? And like, you know,
there you go.
Like, I think there's a lot of, no one wants to see how the sausage is made. And when the lyrics of that song were just about a lot of people who are like faux celebrities in the, like the no kill movement, but like, you know, no one's got like, you know, oh, your shelter's full of dogs. Have you tried adopting them out? Yeah, obviously, you know, like then what, you know, I don't know. It's just, to me, it was just so many people that are just like, that all act like there are people that make like good money just speaking at like conferences, but it's just like, yeah, man. But like, not, this doesn't necessarily work for everyone. And this doesn't, is there's not like a magic cure. It's not like a cheat code that automatically works. There's a lot of steps to it, but people are just going to be like, yeah, just do this thing. And then it's like, well, yeah, what else? I don't know. But like that song's like a weird song to talk about because like, as I said, like, I'm not trying to say that I want to kill a bunch of dogs, but it's just a more of a cult of personality song. But there's the record. I think I won't say that the songs are like, I think this record is a pretty good follow-up from the first record. I'm happy with the lyrics that I wrote for it. I think that the cover art doesn't feature me, so that's a good.
I was gonna say this is the first one that's not a live action, Dave.
Yeah, we took me off the cover of this one, so we'll see if it totally flops because it lost like the uniformity of the first two. But yeah, I think the record looks cool. I mean, there's definitely still the kid in me that's like really stoked to be on Revelation, you know, as far as a thing that like, you know, we put out like Real Biscuits and Music Today and Side by Side and shit. And to be on that label seems cool. So they're, you know, they've continued to put out more records by us. So that's fun. Yeah.
So it seems like the consistency as far as like you just being stoked on hardcore is that has it been a, like, do you feel personally like it's been the same throughout, like from where you've been in previous bands?
I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that I didn't have like parts where I was less interested than others, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, especially after Tear It Up broke up, I was like pretty disillusioned. I didn't like fully check out, but I definitely just like hung out with friends and, you know, took a little bit of a, like a back seat. But then like, you know, then like the, when like the No Way, like the government warning, direct control, career suicide, like all that shit started to like come around, which is like 2005, you know, like Teardown broke up 2003. It's not like I stopped going to shows, but like I got like a recharge again when that stuff kind of was going, you know, because like it was like when it gets into like the harder stuff, I feel like New Jersey at that point was getting like a little bit too tough guy for me in like the early 2000s, that like that just like isn't what I wanted. Like my roots are like punk, so when it became like too like just thug tough shit, like it wasn't like, it's not what I was looking for. So when we had the like the No Way, like government warning, direct control shit, like that was like what I liked. So then there's always stuff, but like even like stuff that I didn't really care for, really didn't give the time of day at the time, I'll go back to now with like fresh ears and be like, oh yeah, that's not cool, you know. Like there's stuff from the late 2000s that was like not as much on my radar when it was happening that like I like now. And I'll credit it to things like Axe to Grind, to like be, hear more stuff I wouldn't have heard. And I think it's also like for like little things I do, like I will keep a list of what I listen to every week, like a physical list, like on my phone. And I'll just like post it on Twitter every Friday or post it on like the No Echo, like Facebook group. And it's just like, for me, it's a way of like checking myself to not just like listen to the same dozen records every week, you know, especially the older I get, it'd be real easy if I just listened to things I've liked since I was 20 or whatever, you know, whereas I will make a point to like listen to demos and listen to records that either records that I haven't listened to in a while or records that I maybe never heard, you know, just because like you just never get around to it. There's a million records and there's only more. Next month there'll be even more. Next month there'll be even more than that. So you can't hear everything. But I think a way to stay engaged is to just like keep looking for another new shit or kind of forgotten shit. Like today I listened to the Green Beret 12-inch. Like that's from like 2017. I don't know. It's not like a classic 80s record, but it's not from yesterday. You know, but I like it. And it's just like, hey, why not throw that on again? You know, and as well as I said, like getting shit off Bandcamp, listening to new demos and listening to like shit that's going on right now. Like there's good labels that are like putting out stuff that I like.
I completely agree. And that's kind of where like for me, it, cause I grew up in a like Christian like town, like, so a lot of the stuff that I was getting fed was through that lens, or like if I was getting hardcore, it was the most popular of the time, the, you know, like No Warning or stuff like that. So like it was very cool, like when I got out of that world, meeting people that grew up in the same era of hardcore, and that's how I found like Tear It Up and Look Back and Laugh and stuff like that. Like that I was like, I didn't even know this was a, like this was going on literally side by side with all the other stuff I was listening to. It was like, this like really broadens things and connects more dots than Have Heart and Carry On or something like that. Mm-hmm.
I think Tear It Up played with No Warning twice, so we have those crossovers as well. I mean, because like there was definitely, I mean, there's so much stuff going on that like I don't know anything about metallic hardcore. Like just like broad strokes, I don't know much about it, because it was just like I was just doing my own thing. So it was things that were going on at the same time that was just like separate. That's, I mean, not to go into like a funny digression, but like there's such funny stuff that like I'll meet people that just like, oh, like you're this old and from New Jersey. Like, you know, I never saw Fury of Five. Like, and I never, and it wasn't like a conscious decision to not see Fury of Five. It was like, yeah, I wasn't going to like those shows. And not to say that those guys like aren't hardcore per se. I mean, it sounds more like Sepultura to me, but like not to say like those, like there was never like those shows were not, they were playing like, I mean, they would play like opening for like metal band kind of pay to play, sell tickets kind of shows, you know, like it's, they don't, they're not all like the same thing, you know? And the same way, like there's plenty of stuff going on right now I don't know anything about. Were you going to like, did you get into music? Like, did you do like Christian hardcore and Christian punk stuff too? Or did you like, did you get out of Christianity and just like in
the now you're stuff? Asking, now you're asking the question I'm obligated to answer. There's an unfortunate for me. Yes. So so broadening that up, being a part of that playing in bands, but also playing alongside other hardcore bands. Like it is so crazy looking back, like, because there's like bands that I was listening to playing with, also with like on the side of other hardcore bands where people were like, I don't understand this band. I don't get it. Like, I like Figure Four, but that other band is what is going on. And I was like, oh yeah, well, I don't know. And I was like, it's just because that was just my worldview. That was my lens of looking at things. And now it's like looking back now and having a broader picture and talking to people and absorbing all the other hardcore that I didn't listen to because of where I grew up. And where in my worldview, it's so uncanny valley. It's just like now I completely understand what people were saying when they were telling me like the stuff you are consuming and trying, like, because I was trying to play like actual hardcore, but like the other people who were like deep into Christianity we're trying to do something else, and it was like, what you are trying to do and what you've consumed is so alien to me. And I'm like, and now I look at it, it's like, you're absolutely right.
I mean, and the thing is with all that stuff, like, I don't know shit about it, but like it was massive. Like I lived in Tulsa for a year, and my across the hall neighbor was in some like Christian like punk band like when he was younger, and I'd never heard of them, he'd never heard anything I've done. And then like, but then like, you, I don't remember what they were, and this is fucking 15 years ago, so I would never remember what they were called, but like I feel like I looked it up and it was fucking gigantic, and it was just like, okay, yeah. Or but it's like, this does not cross like, I mean, the world I was in. But
not,
I mean,
even sonically it was like they heard like they literally heard, it's some of them, it's like they heard Youth of Today and Judge in an apartment across the way.
Yeah. A tape of a tape of a tape, and they're like, oh, okay, I think I heard it once, I think I know what that is.
And then I'm like,
friend got a Black Flag tattoo, and the tattoo artist is like, oh yeah, I know what the logo is. Is the first one up or down? And he's just like,
all right, yeah. Wait, did it come out correct?
No, because yeah, my friend knew how it's supposed to look, but like, the tattoo did not come out good. It was done. it's since been like covered up by like a bigger Black Flag tattoo to like make it like look correct, because it proportionally was fucked. I mean, it was bad, but. Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, I have an idea what that is, but like, you don't have what it is.
Yeah. Almost with that kind of parallel, it's like, oh, maybe you shouldn't do it then.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I got a bad tattoo from her too, but you know, it's fine.
It's just what, yeah, Christian, what we're hard, hardcore bad equivalent to bad Black Flag tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Sonically, I can't deny. It's looking back, there's a couple that like kind of moved with the metalcore movement that kind of got it sonically, but like besides that, like I said, bigger picture of people, when people are like, oh, you didn't hear this, you didn't hear that, I was like, it's not that I, not for lack of wanting to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but it's like, now I think there's so much, like, everything's everywhere because of Bandcamp, because of Spotify, because of YouTube, like, everything's everywhere. But like, if you don't know where to look, and even like you'll hear people that are old say that like kids today have everything easy. But like, if you don't know what to look for, you're not going to find it. You know, even though you don't have to spend money to like buy an Antidote 7-inch, like,
yeah,
if you don't know that it exists, even if it is free, you won't hear it. So, I mean, like, if you're in, you know, fucking both feet planted on the ground into Christian hardcore, you might not know about other stuff. It's not because you're not into hardcore. It's just like, you're into what you're into.
And I've talked to the singer. Oh man, they're going to hate me for the singer Chopping Block. We grew up in the same area. Cause we live in Puyallup, which is just like, just a little like, southwest of Tacoma, just like a suburb. And then right next door is Sumner, Ording, Graham, all these tiny little areas, churches everywhere. That post 9/11 shit popped up more churches. Every single person in there, even if they were just like, everyone went to church after 2001 in those towns, and like the entire neighborhood would on Sunday. That was empty because they were, every single household was like, we got to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was like my whole Christianity was like affected by that, like post 9/11 stuff of like, that's what you have to do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in suburban New Jersey. So I was just like, I mean, it was like a weird mix of like being in the woods, but also only being like 30 miles from Manhattan. So you could like have like the childhood of like riding your bikes and like playing Manhunt or whatever. And then you can kind of just be like, yeah, but I can also like go to New York and you can like be a 15-year-old and buy beer on the street. And you can go to like clubs and see, you know, do bad kid shit. And like, there are plenty of people that like, the same way that I'm sure there are plenty of people that like didn't have your life, you know, and that like are still adults that are like going to church every Sunday and doing all that shit. Like, there are plenty of like townies everywhere you go. And it's just a matter of you, the individual, being like, I want more than this, or I don't fit in with this, you know?
And I'm about to talk about a band that might be alien to you. The band Zao, metalcore.
I mean, I know the name. They're huge.
Yes. They like you. I was talking to my friend, like, about kind of the different reception. Like, so on the East Coast, they have the hardcore, that this is hardcore people, and they're revered as kind of a hardcore band. Out here, they played the venue I work at, and it's completely those towny Christian weirdos.
Like, oh, weird.
And like the way they like it, like I felt like I was in a time, I got to see a glimpse, because like this was the first time this band played. Last year was the first time they played since like 06. And like the way that it was and this is another alien thing to you, just like a very youth crew, youth group,
okay, yeah,
mentality of just, they're just, super awkward with the way they're interacting with the bands, the way they're moshing, the way they're doing everything is just weird. And they're like their early stuff, like the 97 stuff, is considerably fucking heavy. I could put it up against some other stuff of that era and still be like, yeah, that all works for me at least. Maybe that's still some of my, I'm not completely deprogrammed, but but like, this is hardcore. People are just treating it like it's any other heavy, like metallic or metalcore or like 90s metalcore band. But going out to Seattle, the vibe, different vibe. 100%.
I mean, they were like, metalcore had like Christian stuff that infiltrated it, you know, and like Zayo. I mean, I know who Zayo are. I mean, but there's like, and there were other bands that are, where you just knew the name and you're like, oh, but they were Christian. It's like, oh, I didn't even know that. Whereas, I mean, I think I don't think there was much of any of that in like the shows I was going to.
They're also, well, Zayo's also like runs this same like brainwave as I did. Like they grew up and they grew out of it. And okay. they still play music. They do like kind of more, I don't know, sludgier stuff. But like, they play some of the same songs. They don't do any of their hyper Christian songs. They like over a decade ago. So like that's there's still like a lot of like those bands that do that. There's still have fans from that are still like hyper in that culture. So
yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's plenty.
I don't know I didn't expect to take this turn on this episode, but
nor did I. I mean, like, being this, we've probably both seen more than our fair share of straight edge bands that aren't straight edge that like still play those songs. You know, that's what people want to hear. You know, like if it's like a legacy band or a reunion kind of thing.
Seen a younger band do it too. They got a non-straight edge member so they could tour and they'd still do a Project X cover. And I was like, okay.
I mean our Play on the Chain gets some like straight edge like billing, but we're not a full five piece of straight edge people.
So, yeah.
But I mean, I think 80s rules is like, as long as the singer's straight edge or like the, like all like some, and maybe not like the Rev, but like some of the other like straight edge bands had like a non-straight edge drummer or like a bass player or some shit that like was not straight edge, just was in the mix.
Well, I had a bunch of like, I think I was talking to my friend who's like a metal promoter and like, obviously he knows more of the heavier metallic stuff and he's more into death and doom. And he's just naming off every hardcore band as straight edge, Hatebreed, Terror, whatever. Yeah. And I was just like, he just associates all of them as straight edge bands.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that same, like, everyone's vegan, everyone's straight edge, everyone, you know, it's like, no, they're not all the same thing, you know. I think there are points when that was more common than it is now. I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't think about it like how many bands are straight edge at this point.
No, you
know? There's plenty of bands I like and I never like, they could all smoke weed. I don't know.
I only do on the local level just because my friend. Cause I had, you know, cause of my friends and I'm like, I think about that and like, it doesn't bother me. It's just like, huh, interesting. that's pretty much it's only if I had a really like straight edge interaction that like stood out with that person. And now they're not, and I was like, huh, okay. You said I was, this.
I was talking with the singer of, he sings in Gear of Finale and he sings in Peace Decay. We have a new record coming out on Beach Impediment. But talking to that dude, I'm like, oh, we got to do some shows together. But I wrote, it was like an Instagram DM, and I think we got to do some smokes together. And he's like, but he knows me. So he's just like, oh, is Dave doing the devil's lettuce? You know, like you know what I mean, man. Like, yeah, you can smoke with the drummer.
I don't know. So one time when I first started doing, I moved out of like a college radio studio and doing like mainly analog stuff. I was starting to figure out the Google phone stuff to record. And I had Scott from Earth Crisis. And for some reason, we got on the phone and he was kind of like hesitant and like a little bit like seemed annoyed. Like I was playing a prank on him. Because the same Google phone was the phone for a pot shop in town.
Oh, really?
Yes. He somehow, I don't know. Yeah.
How would he know that?
No, he called in it and it was a pot shop that answered. It was the number I gave.
Ah, okay. Then I can see that. Yeah.
That's like, so he was just like, he's like, why did you do that? And I was like, and at this point, I think it was like, this was like the third, fourth time I've talked to him. And like, so, but he just thought I was like playing I was like, we've talked, but I don't know you like that. What are you doing? I was like, that was a very weird one too.
Yeah.
on that same train of thought. But, man, thanks so much for, going down a weird path with me to this evening. I'm stoked for the new record. I'm stoked to see you back in. I wasn't able the winter is always rough to do anything post holidays. So I'm stoked to hear that y'all are coming back to the Pacific Northwest for the return of Bleak Outlook this spring, this April. It'll be a cool one. And anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, thank you for having me. I hope this wasn't too weird for the listener. And yeah, we'll be back up there soon. Have a new record. I think it comes out April 7th or whatever the Friday is. Well, like around that weekend is when that's like our record release weekend. And we're doing 14 shows over in Europe in June. So that's what's on the docket for Plan on the Chain. And hopefully, as I said to some other interview, like if we're coming around, you should go, because who knows when we'll come back. And I think that's how you should treat literally every hardcore band. You never know when it's going to come through again. Like, and if you don't go, maybe they won't go back to your city again.
No, absolutely. Make the effort. It's a good record. The last record made it on my list. I'm for the records of 2023, and I'm stoked to hear another one. It's like it's one of those for me. This will be my endorsement. If you like hardcore, I find it very hard to not like Planet on the Chain. If you like subsets of hardcore, you just like moshing, I'd still say give it a chance. I think you're just one step away from liking good shit.
Well, thank you very much.
So, all right. We're out of here.